WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Hi, welcome to another issue of Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon. I'm broadcasting here from New Zealand, and today I want to talk a little bit about Biden's double game with Ukraine, and also Biden's double game for America. You know, just why and how Joe Biden is betraying this country. So please stay tuned after this little message. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show. And I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took two volumes to get this done. These are highly documented. Security Risk Senators, Part 1, Arizona to Massachusetts, Part 2, Michigan to Virginia. I interviewed Trevor for several hours on these books when they came out. They're a must for everybody's library. Enemies Within, this is a DVD. You should indeed have this in your library as well. This book, White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk Running for U.S. President in 2020. You may say, wait a minute, that's 2020, that's a dated book. Actually, it's not, because the individuals being discussed are still around today and in government and endeavoring to run for office. This is a historical book. This book, White House Reds, gives you the historical background of many of the communist and socialist front groups in America today and many of the candidates, well, that ran for president but are still around today. So this book is very relevant. The Enemies Within movie. Then we have Burn This Book, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. These are some of Trevor's excellent resources. Not only should these be a part of your library and that of your family and friends, but this is also a great way to support the work of Trevor Loudon. So everybody wins. You get great books and resources, and you're supporting Trevor Loudon so he can keep this TV show going. So please, go to trevorloudon.com right now. trevorloudon.com right now. Make your purchases and share this website with your family and friends. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Brandon, and thanks to everybody for watching. I'm in a little trailer park outside Christchurch, New Zealand, visiting family, friends, doing lots of research. They have an election here in New Zealand this year, and it's imperative that the socialist Labour government, previously led by Jacinda Ardern, a Marxist, and now led by another Marxist, a pro-Chinese Marxist, Chris Hipkins, is defeated. But let's talk a little bit about Joe Biden, the President of the United States of America. Now, I just posted on my Facebook page, Conservative Ukraine. Now, please go and sign up, join up, because you'll see information about the Ukraine war you will not find anywhere else. So Conservatives for Ukraine, Facebook page. Now, that's for the numeral, not for the F-O-R, Conservatives for Ukraine. Just post a little video kindly sent to me, and it's Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, just gutting Antony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State. And what Ted is basically saying is this. You know, Biden makes these noises about supporting Ukraine. We're going to stick with Ukraine till the end. We're going to make sure Ukraine defeats Russia. But it's all for show. It's all for show. And this is my argument. A lot of conservatives say, well, we can't be on the same side as Biden. Biden's supporting Ukraine, so therefore we can't. Biden is not supporting Ukraine. Biden is giving Ukraine enough to fight, but not enough to win. And his long-term goal, in my belief, is to basically sell out Ukraine to Russia. But what this is what the point that Ted Cruz made. Biden, because Biden is so fanatically keen on an Iran nuclear deal, he is turning a blind eye and re-granting waivers to Iran for dealing with Russia. The Russians are using Iranian ships to transport technology. They're using Iranian banks to launder money. They're using Iranian military technology in their battles against Ukraine. And this is all in contravention of sanctions, the sanctions that Donald Trump put in, the sanctions which Biden is refusing to enforce. So why Biden is saying, yes, I'm supporting Ukraine. Thank you, President Zelensky. I'm on your side. Covertly, he's working with the mullahs because he wants the mullahs to be the power over the Middle East. He's working with the mullahs while they are supplying Russia with technology. They are giving Russia ships to transport their products, and they are laundering funds for the Russians. And the Biden administration is turning a complete eye to it. It's a great clip. Go to Conservatives for Ukraine Facebook page. Check it out. It's only about 6 or 7 minutes long, but Ted Cruz absolutely guts Antony Blinken, shows him the absolute liar that he is, and shows up Joe Biden for the absolute hypocrite that he is. Must see. Very short, but must see. So, Biden, why wouldn't we trust Biden? Well, let's do a little bit of history. Well, here's another thing before we do this. There's also been a little bit of a stir in recent times because a lot of military-age Chinese nationals have been seen coming across the southern border. Not, I say seen. They might be stopped, they might be given water and medical supplies, but they're certainly not incarcerated. They're certainly not expelled from the country. They're just basically waved on. So this is a massive increase in Chinese military age young men coming across the border, something like a 700% spike. And people say, well, maybe this is China bringing an army into America, getting ready for, a war. So they have internal groups inside America ready to fight. It's not maybe, folks. This is absolutely what they are doing, and they've been doing it for years. I'll tell a little story about, see, foreign operatives have been bringing people into America since the 1980s at least. I'm talking Hamas, Hezbollah, the Chinese, the Russians, the Cubans. Many Cubans are coming here as well. Some of them are genuinely fleeing communism, but many of them are communist agents who are ready for the revolution, ready to strike America from the inside when the war starts. So, to do sabotage, assassinations, blow up supermarkets, blow up dams. All this kind of thing. And just remember, when Joe Biden gave Afghanistan to China, part of the gift was the technology to make genuine, real US military IDs. How many of these people coming across the border have real American military IDs, enabling to walk onto any military base in the country, pretty much? Talk to sheriffs, whatever, just that credibility of having a US military ID could be used in all sorts of ways when the revolution starts. Well, the revolution's already started. When I talk about when the kinetic stuff starts inside America, because believe me, folks, World War III will be fought inside US borders. We got to be prepared for this. We've got to understand that this is what's being planned. And we've got to be so grateful to the Ukrainian people and their brilliant and militant and hardcore stand against the Russians, just, that we are not already in that situation. They're the only thing standing between us and World War III. We should be grateful for them, not condemning them as Tucker Carlson does and some other so-called conservatives in our media. But here's, you know, just one example. Back in the 1980s, a Lebanese man came to the United States via Puerto Rico. And in Puerto Rico, he married an Hispanic woman, a local Puerto Rican woman, and he converted her to Islam. And they set up a 7-Eleven in St. Louis, Missouri. And he ran that little 7-Eleven for many, many years. And of course, after a few years, they had children. And when one of the, this is a long-term operation. This happened over many years. They had a daughter. And when her daughter was a young teenager, she started dating a local black boy. Now, you got to understand, you know, Arabs are pretty darn racist towards blacks. Arab Muslims can be pretty darn racist. They regard blacks as slaves. So this Hezbollah man was not happy at all about his daughter dating a local black kid. And the FBI, who had his house completely wired, would hear fights virtually every night. You keep away from that black boy. You don't bring him into this house. You better stop seeing him or else. And major fights were going on night after night after night. See, what this guy was doing, he was setting up Hezbollah networks all over America. He was a focal point, and the FBI had him totally wired. They were following exactly what he was doing, who he was talking to, all the other cells that he was setting up all around the country. And as a byproduct of listening to his espionage work on behalf of Iran, this was in the 80s, people. They say, well, Iran only got hot with America because of 9/11. The Muslims only became after America after 9/11. They were coming after America since the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, a long time ago. And so they were hearing these fights going on. And one day, the fight got right out of hand. And the father killed the daughter. Beat her or stabbed her to death. I'm not quite sure what was going on, but he killed her. And so the father and the mother concocted a story. It was all self-defense. The daughter had gone crazy, and she'd been stabbed in self-defense. And of course, the FBI was listening to the whole darn thing. They knew this guy was completely lying, and he'd murdered his daughter. And so they had a dilemma. What do? If we arrest this guy for the murder we know he committed, that will destroy our ability to monitor Hezbollah networks all over the country. Maybe we should just let him keep going and pretend that we didn't know what he'd done. Well, the FBI actually did the right thing in the circumstances. They were a different organization 20, 30 years ago, and they arrested this man for the murder they knew he committed and put him on trial. Yes, they lost the ability to monitor his networks, but the justice was done. And that was the first recorded honor killing in America. The first recorded honor killing where a Muslim parent or a family member kills usually a female, but not always a female, somebody who has dishonored the family, someone who has brought the family into disrepute. And you have an obligation under Islam, some say, an obligation to kill that person or severely punish that person. So the point is there. You know, the enemies have been infiltrating America for decades because they have always been about destroying America. That, you know, the Muslims understand America is the only impediment to worldwide Islam. The communists understand that America is the only impediment to worldwide communism. So, of course, they're going to penetrate this country. And all the ethnic minorities that come here from countries from the Middle East, from Africa, from Latin America, from Asia, you can bet there'll be some infiltrators hidden amongst them. Remember, during World War II, the American government interned over 100,000 Japanese Americans, put them in camps because they weren't sure of the loyalty of some of those people. And, you know, it's a very controversial thing to say, but I think that was actually the right decision at the time because, you know, war was on. We know the Japanese were infiltrating agents into this country, and they didn't know who or how many of the Japanese Americans here were working for the enemy. So they basically did a blanket internment. You know, was that a right, morally right thing to do? Was it a wrong thing to do? I think it was probably, on balance, it was probably the right thing to do. And that's a controversial statement today. So Biden himself, you know, back in 1972, Joe Biden was a 29-year-old city councillor in Wilmington, Delaware. And he decided as a Democrat, it was a Republican state back then. They'd never elected a Republican statewide in the state's history up until that point. In 1972, Joe Biden, he was only 29 years old. He wasn't even old enough to serve in the Senate, but he stood against Hale Boggs, I believe it was, a four-term Republican senator with an 80% approval rating, and he beat him. And he just turned 30 just in time to actually swear the oath of office to join the Senate. Well, the reason that Joe Biden was able to win that total upset election was the fact that he was backed by an organization called the Council for a Livable World. Now, that was an organization set up in the 60s to basically elect left-wing senators to the U.S. Senate, and it expanded to congressmen after that. But the president of the Council for a Livable World at the time was a man called Albert Gore Sr. Now, you've probably heard of his son. He invented the internet and global warming. That's the one, you know, Al Gore. And Albert Gore Sr. was a very corrupt senator from Tennessee. But he got Joe Biden lots of money, lots of endorsements, lots of volunteers from all around the country. And he, I think about $287,000 he got him, something like that, which was big money back in 1972. And Joe Biden won. Well, Al Gore Sr. was a protege of a man called Armand Hammer. Armand Hammer made him rich. Armand Hammer made him the boss of some of his corporations. Armand Hammer funneled money into Joe Biden's to Al Gore Sr.'s campaigns. But Armand Hammer was the leading American Soviet agent of the early 20th century, the man who helped keep the Bolshevik Revolution alive, a businessman. He was the head of Occidental Petroleum. The FBI had a 600-page file on the man, but the FBI couldn't touch him because Al Gore Sr. protected him from the U.S. Senate. So it was a sort of mutual relationship. Now, the actual Council for a Livable World was set up by a man called Leo Szilard. He was a young Hungarian communist sympathizer who supported Balakun's communist revolution in Hungary just after World War I. And when that revolution failed, Leo Szilard fled first to Germany and then to the United States. And he was a nuclear physicist. And eventually he was hired on by the Manhattan Project. That was a project in World War II which developed the atomic weapon used to defeat Japan in 1945. And it was shot full of communists. And Leo Szilard was very prominent in the Manhattan Project. Leslie Groves, the head of security, always wanted to fire Szilard because he knew he was a communist, but he was just too darn valuable to the operation. Well, after the war, when the bomb had been completed, and then the Soviets got the bomb because so many communists were working in the Manhattan Project that they funneled all the secrets to the Soviet Union, Leo Szilard set up the Council for a Livable World. and it was all about electing senators who would basically work to gut the US military to the advantage, of course, of the Soviet Union, who would negotiate very advantageous treaties with the Soviet Union, who you know, that would benefit the Soviet Union, who would cut US nuclear weapons programs, cut Navy ship numbers, or everything you could do to weaken the US military. So the Council for a Livable World went to small states. They didn't have much money for a start, and they elected left-wing senators in small states like Rhode Island, like Vermont, like South Dakota, like obviously Delaware. And Joe Biden was their first, one of their first major victories. Well, it turned out Pavel Sudoplatov, a former top-ranking Soviet intelligence officer, basically who worked under Beria, Stalin's spy chief, wrote a book in 1994, and he named Leo Szilard as a fully recruited Soviet agent. And he basically said that Stalin had passed the word down after World War II that Szilard needed to stop his spying because the FBI were getting close to him, and instead use his political influence to work for U.S. disarmament. And this is why he set up the Council for a Livable World. So Joe Biden owed his job to two Soviet agents, and Joe Biden has worked to destroy the United States military every single step of the way ever since. Now, we look at Afghanistan, where he just gave billions of dollars of U.S. military technology to the Chinese, plus the means of making U.S. military IDs. Was this just stupid? Was this the stupidity of the Biden administration, or was it treason? What do you think? You know, Biden, when Reagan was fighting communism in Latin America back in the 1980s, he had three major enemies in the U.S. Senate. John Kerry, otherwise known as Jane Fonda with less testosterone. Ted Kennedy, who actually worked in a treasonous manner with the Soviets. And Joe Biden. Joe Biden was always left-wing on foreign policy. He was a relative moderate on domestic policy because he was in a conservative state. But on the foreign policy, where nobody was watching, he was always with the far left. I have a document from 2001 from the BBC, an article about how Joe Biden offered to help the Chinese to negotiate trade treaties with America. Not offered to help America, offered to help communist China negotiate treaties with America. So Joe Biden has worked in the interests of Russia, of China, and Russia since the 70s, China since the early 2000s, and Iran since the 80s. Joe Biden has always worked in the interests of America's enemies. That's why he's pushing the Iran nuclear deal now, which will make Iran the dominant power in the Middle East. That's why he is basically sabotaging Ukraine every chance he gets, because that supports Russia. And that's why he's allowing all these refugees across the southern border, because that helps his friends in communist China. And that's why he allowed Afghanistan to basically fall and be delivered to the Chinese. So Joe Biden, as I say, has worked in the interests of America's enemies his entire political career. And right now, if he really wanted to, you know, stop the Ukraine war, he could do a very simple thing. He could open up all of the energy fields, drop the price of gas to virtually nothing. That would help American taxpayers. You could send energy to your allies in Europe, and Putin would go broke. He wouldn't be able to prosecute his war. But no, Biden's not doing that. He's working with Deb Haaland, the Secretary of the Interior, who was put in place by Judith LeBlanc of the Communist Party USA, which supports both China and Putin's Russia, And he's put her in place, and she's shutting down every energy lease on public land that she possibly can. And then when we're short of energy, Biden wants to buy energy from Iran and Venezuela, which are both Russian allies. So this is the level of the treason that's going on with the Biden administration. It's beyond a joke. It's not even, it would be hilarious if it wasn't so serious, just how blatant the treachery is. But he masks it all by pretending to help Ukraine. You know, a lot of the money that's promised to Ukraine never gets there. The first shipment of arms to Ukraine was pistol ammunition and pistols. Ukrainians were facing Russian tanks, and what does Biden send them? Pistols and pistol ammunition. Right, that just shows what side of the fence Biden is really on. But it's politically expedient to at least pretend he's supporting Ukraine, because that disarms American conservatives and makes him look moderately patriotic, even though he's been working with the Russians since the 1970s. But it throws people off the track. But if he is given the chance, he will betray Ukraine to Russia. If Ukraine wins, and we hope they do, he will take credit for it. If Ukraine loses, which will be a tragedy for all of us, he will then blame the Republicans for not supporting Ukraine enough. So either way, he wins. The Democrats win on this. It's not a healthy situation. So that's my exposition on Joe Biden. So please check out, go to my website, trevorlouden.com. You'll see my book, White House Reds, which gives you the communist background of Joe Biden, and my new books, Security Risk Senators, Parts 1 and Part 2, profile 30 currently serving U.S. senators, all Democrats with their Marxist backgrounds, and also my new book, which will be available on May 1st, but you can order it now, House Un-Americans, 6 volumes on the communists in Congress. The first book will deal with communists in Alabama, Arizona, and Northern California. Book 2 will be about Southern California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, and DC. It's alphabetical. Over 100 Congress members will be profiled. So trevorlouden.com. So thanks very much for watching. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Use it to prepare, get your house in order, get some food stocks in. We're in for a bit of a rough time, I'm afraid. Thanks so much. God bless. See you all next week.